atata o tutalo. Malie ya toe upolo ngutu ma faufaunga o lo loto leali ie. Lava o lo papa o lo olo te malwai. Amen. Mathematics. It's one of my favorite subjects. And I'm pretty sure that we all remember when we first learned how to multiply. I was in about third grade when I had to memorize my times tables. Some were easy. 1 multiplied 1 = 1. But 1 multiplied 2 = 2. 2 multiplied 2 = 4. Some got harder, like 9 multiplied 7 = 63. And some I could never remember, like 11 multiplied 12 = 132. But that's how we learned something. You start from easy stuff, then harder and harder. In the island, I can surely say that mathematics is an everyday subject. What I mean is every day you add how many coconuts you get, you subtract how many coconuts you use, you divide how many coconuts to feed the pigs, how many for the falipukalo, and how many you save for another day. You also multiply how many coconuts you have for 7 days a week to make sure that number stays with you so you don't get short or you don't get run out of coconuts. So before I go to school, I already know how to add, how to divide, how to subtract, and how to multiply. As I said, math was one of my favorite subjects. I remember those times when the teacher handed out cards with all these multiplication problems, and she would say, go. And then you had something like 2 minutes to do the entire sheet correctly, sort of a game activities. Guess what? I was always become first. Praise the Lord. What about you? Did you ever have to do those things with all the problems that you had to complete in 2 minutes? Maybe or maybe not, but it became clear that learning to multiply was a dramatic experience for many of us. And yet, multiplication is about more than just math. It even has a place in the spiritual life. And so we don't have to do those handed out cards. We still have to learn how to do it, how to multiply. Today's story tells us a little of why we still need to learn how to multiply. The story of the loaves and fish is one we hear at least once a year in the church. It's also the only miracle of Jesus that is told in all 4 Gospels, which I think is a pretty good indicator of its importance. In each of 4 tellings, the tea tells very just a little, but the main story remains the same. Jesus is preaching. The people all come out to hear him. The day is getting past. And they are hungry. And there are so many that the disciples look out and wonder how they are going to feed them all. How? According to John's gospel, the disciples tell Jesus, we could spend 6 months' wages, and we could not afford to even start to feed everyone. One of them, Andrew, points out that one boy has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But he says, what use is that? But Jesus says something different. He takes the boy's food, and he has the crowd of more than 5,000. 5,000 sit down. Then he blesses the loaves and fish and sends them out into the crowd. And when all is said and done, not only does everyone eat and become full, but there are baskets filled up with all the extras, filled up with leftovers. Amazing. Well, what really happened that day on that hill? There was always ways to explain it anyway. Some said it never really happened. And others say that the real miracle was that once one person decided to share, the others around them felt like they could do the same. And it turned out there really was enough for everyone. Who knows? Maybe there is something to that. It does take a small miracle to get over our fear about never having enough and to instead share abundantly with others. But what I think happened that day, more than anything, had to do with Jesus, had to do with multiplication. Here is why. Do you remember your times table and the rule about zero? Zero multiply any number always equals zero. Zero multiply 1 equals zero. Zero multiply 37 equals zero. Zero multiply 2,000 equals zero. Zero multiply 3,000,000 equals zero. Of course you cannot multiply zero and ever get something else. You only get zero. But with even a little bit, a small thing, multiplication can work miracles. So if you want to build something, you have to learn how to multiply. Think about the story for a moment. Jesus did not start with zero. Personally, I think he still could have figured out a way for everyone to get fed. But I think there is something important about the fact that the only thing he initially had to work with were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I don't think it's an accident that scripture tells us about that first small gift, because it may not have been much, but it was something. There was something there. So like I say, there are some who believe that what happened next was addition. People opened up their own packs and added to the common meal. And like I said, maybe that's true. But I think what really happened was multiplication. Jesus took what was given and transformed it into something far greater and better than it could be on its own. I think that's what happens when God gets involved in something. I think we bring what we are willing to give and what we are willing to see transformed. And I believe that God doesn't just add to it. God takes what we keep and multiplies it into something we couldn't imagine. To me, That is what blessings looks like. It's not God just giving us more. It's God creating something new out of what we keep and multiplying the blessings until what we end up with is so much bigger and better than we could imagine. Jesus did not just say, okay, here is a few more fish. Jesus multiplied, so it fed the crowds. And there was an abundance left. The same is true of anything we give to God. And it's true to our spiritual lives. When we give God just a small part of ourselves, whether in prayer or meditation or service, we find that God gives us back something even better. God gives us a sense of God's presence and love and God's grace. God renews us for the work we do and gives us choice. But tau tia fainga le tua. Lo pumonia, poleale titio se mea, tatou te vatu ile tua po se tatalo, po se taimi e faalu moia, po lau taleni, po se si libawa e maua, e te faitau langa ai a te ia, e mauti noa, e tali le tua, ma faali le tua, ma fatupuina e le tua. That's what's happened. When we stop holding on to things so tightly, whether our times or our gifts or even our fears, and we let go and let God work with them. A man is given a choice between two things. He can either have $10,000 a day for 31 days or $1 on the first day. That is double for each of next 30 days. In other words, you get a dollar on the first day, $2 on the second day, $4 on the third, and so on. The choice sounds easy at first. You take the sure things, the $10,000 a day. Because if you take the other option, even after 21 days, you only have a little over 10,000. You could have had more than that on day two. But if you hang in there, by the time you get to day 28, you will have $1.3 million. And by the time you get to the end of the month, when the people who are adding $10,000 a day have $310,000 for 31 days. What about a dollar you add each day for 30 days? You will have over $10 million. Unless you are starting with something. Unless you are starting with zero, with nothing, then you will get nothing. Unless you are holding everything back, multiplication always beats addition. And God's blessings is like multiplication. It doesn't settle for just giving us more. It creates real growth. That's what deepening your spiritual life is like. You might not feel like you have all that much to keep, but you have more than you know. You have it because you and your spirit were created by God. And all you have to do is step up, trust your spirit in God's hand, and get ready to see the ways God can bless you. Oh, no, Jenny. Get ready for the ways God will take just a little and multiply it into a blessing you won't believe. Judge Minster asked his youth group that what the fruit of apple tree is, and most of them answer, an apple, of course, an apple. But one member of the group disagrees. He says the true fruit of an apple tree is not an apple, but another tree. In our spiritual lives, too often we settle for the apples because they often feel hard enough to get. But what if God is hoping that we won't just settle for a quick spiritual snack anymore? What if maybe for too long we have been settling for what has been lying around on the ground instead of believing in the possibility of something better? What if God is waiting to help us plant those spiritual seeds? Water them and watch them grow. Grow into a tree of their own. What if God doesn't want us to settle for a spiritual life that fills us for a few minutes? And what if God wants us to truly plant for a lifetime and beyond? The seeds are in your hands. We can hold on to them, or we can plant them in God's good soil. Watch them multiply and let them grow. Let them grow. Watch them multiply by God and let them grow. Amen.